Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at Chenal.com.
The big week this week, obviously, second game in the SEC to play Florida at their home turf. And obviously, I've recruited a lot of state to Florida, so it's a big weekend for us in our recruiting wars and all that goes on there. And I think our kids are very, very excited to go to the Swamp. And obviously, we haven't beat them in SEC play. So an opportunity to do something that's never been done here is exciting for our guys. And I think they got some mojo out of last week. Obviously, we didn't get a win, but I think the guys felt they competed and played with a very, very good football team. So excited about that opportunity.
Can you smell what the Zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
Okay. Welcome back, Justin Avery, Christina LeCure, Wally Hall, and you. Arkansas, Florida, 6 o'clock kick Saturday in the Swamp. Live coverage for the Buzz starts Friday. Pre-game on Saturday starts at 2 o'clock Central Time. All right, we have some other SEC notes to get to. By the way, Barrett Salee going to join us at the 12:30 mark today, so we'll get his recap of what went on the SEC teleconference. I'm going to guess that a couple of coaches from the SEC get asked about the opening at USC. I'm going to guess that Brett Bielema is not one of them. No knock on coach, just saying.
So yeah, it's too soon.
It is too soon. Too soon, Wally?
Too soon.
Too soon. Okay, so Arkansas and Florida. This could be the polar opposite of last weekend's game against Texas A&M. And unfortunately, as I was looking through a few of these numbers, there are a few that favor Florida that I would not have expected. Florida is ahead of Arkansas in the third down conversion rate at 52% almost. Arkansas is at 42%, which is pretty – it's not terrible, but it's not great. So they're actually 15th in the country in third down conversion rate. They're also number one in third down defense. That's not good.
That's very bad.
Thank you, Wally. Here's something that surprised me a little bit. We've talked about how bad Driscoll has played, and of course he's out now. Murphy may give him a better chance to win. I don't know. We'll talk to the
Couldn't be much of a drop off.
I wouldn't think so. We'll talk to the voice of the Florida Gators, Mick Hubert, in just a little bit and get his thoughts on both the quarterbacks. But they actually are averaging more points or more yards per game passing than Arkansas is. 191 to 177 and change. They're 97th in the country and Arkansas is 105th. So neither team really lighting it up. As much as the SEC is looking more like the Big 12 years of the last few, those two teams are not exactly lighting it up in the passing game. And actually, the run game totals are a little closer than I expected, only about 25 yards per game difference. So as much as Arkansas has handled it on the ground, Florida's been doing a pretty decent job as well.
Muschamp's a ball control type coach.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to move the chains, get first downs, you know, 4-, 5-, 6-minute drives, let his defense rest. But the defense is carrying them.
Well, they are dominant. This is the far and away the best defense Arkansas has faced. It's not even close. So the question becomes, you know, and I saw a quote from Coach Chaney when he was asked yesterday about some of the Florida players talking about some of the Arkansas offensive linemen being dirty. He said, look, I'm worried about, you know, coming up with plays and a game plan. He's going to be tested this week. And I think they've done a spectacular job. I want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from a play calling standpoint. I think they've gotten just about all they can.
I think he's done a marvelous job in these two losses of moving the chains, getting some yards. What you couldn't do against A&M, they ended up doing, and that was swapping touchdowns for field goals. Mm-hmm. You give them a touchdown, you take a field goal. You can't do that in the SEC. So, but he is moving the ball. You know, they're a little limited. They're not real deep at receiver. Nobody expected Brandon Allen to play. He did play. They passed well. They passed the ball successfully against A&M. But let's keep in mind, A&M is – the 112th defense in the country.
Yeah, not second.
Florida's slightly better defensively. The question becomes, slightly. Can Arkansas score, and how many do they have to?
I'm telling you, it could come. To me, the line's ridiculous. 11 favoring Florida.
She says 10. I say,
Scores and Odds got it at 10.
Yeah, the one I looked at was 11. But anyway, it's double digits.
You know, I'm not a gambler, but if I was, I'd be tempted to take Arkansas because I could see this being a 10-7 game.
I could also be in a 14-3 game, unfortunately.
Or 10-9.
Yeah.
I'm going to look and see what the over-under is. Or
One thing that Arkansas's got going for it in a game like this is Zach Hocker. You know, they get to the 30, he's good. They get to the 35, he's got a chance.
Yeah.
So.
Well, their quarterback was very efficient last week, and again, it was against Kentucky.
Yeah.
But, and he didn't throw a bunch, and my guess is he won't throw a bunch this week. Like you said, they're going to be ball control. They'll try to win the game on the ground.
Over-under's 43.
Tyler Murphy was pretty solid last week. I think he was like, I don't know, he only missed like a few balls, but he only threw like 16, I think, so I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, again, the over-under's what?
43.
Oh, I like the under for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a low under, though.
It is very low.
Yeah.
Compared to most other.
It's like 64 last week, I think. I mean, literally.
Was it really?
Literally
like
every game I'm looking at is like 50s or 60s. I don't think there's many more that are much lower. I'll look, but.
This is a chance Arkansas's got to win. If they can just keep down the penalties. I mean, that's really killed them the first four games. They had one penalty for 5 yards.
Yeah. Well, and again, turnovers, too. I mean, the two interceptions. I was impressed, though, that neither team fumbled the ball.
They got to flip that. They got to cause some turnovers.
That would
and
be nice.
Not doing that.
Yeah, that's been an issue. Although a couple games ago, they did have a pick six returned.
Right.
That would be nice. And there will be an opportunity for that this week, I would think. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Arkansas had a pick six this week. But Murphy's been pretty efficient, and some people might argue that they are better off with him in there. Driscoll has not panned out quite like anybody expected.
Right. If they're going to get any picks, it's probably going to come from their linebackers because their defensive backs play so far off the receiver that, you know, they're not reading the ball at all. They're just reading, contain that guy. So if they're going to get any, it's going to have to be a linebacker jump up and snare a bad pass.
They have a couple of solid playmakers. Solomon Patton averaging just over 100 yards in total offense. Matt Jones is a name we've talked a lot about going into the season. He's averaging about 99. I don't think he's played the whole year, though. I think he has missed a little bit of time with an injury. We'll have to ask about that. But, again, you got two offenses that are not exactly dynamic, although I would give Arkansas a slight edge there and certainly a distinct edge for Florida defensively. Again, it should be a close enough game. And you're talking about, again, you had a chance against A&M because both defenses struggling a little bit and both offenses played pretty well. Because of that. In this case, of course, you've got a defense that's dominant. So, I mean, truly the first time Arkansas has played a unit all year that is dominant. I guess you could put A&M's offense in there too. But anyway, I think they'll have a chance just because of that. If it's low scoring enough, those are the kinds of games we think Arkansas will have a chance to win. Although, if you'd have spotted me 20-plus points against the team, I would have thought they would have been able to salt the game away too. So,
you know, one thing that you got,
17 or whatever
the Swamp is an incredibly hostile environment. Of all the ones in the SEC, the three that I put right at the top, and Gainesville used to be number two, but when Alabama expanded this last time, it was like they invited 20 screaming redneck maniacs into the stadium. But Gainesville's very difficult. I remember the first trip there, one of the players' dads had to be restrained because they were throwing ice at him.
That's
in
classic.
The stands.
Wow.
And he was going up after him, and security escorted him back to his seat. But didn't tell the people to quit throwing ice.
We actually, I want to say, I don't remember when we had it, but we had a list of the most hostile environments in the country, and I think it was in the country.
Yeah,
but it was LSU, Alabama, and Florida. And unfortunately for Brett Bielema, he gets to go to all those this year.
All three of them in one year.
Wow.
I talked to Claude Felton at Georgia. He said he couldn't remember anybody ever having to do all three of those in one year.
Yeah. Well, luckily, it won't be that case again.
Maybe the good news that came out of last week was Johnny Manziel did not break the SEC record. He holds that against Alabama.
I thought they did a nice job, though, with him, honestly. I was surprised at their defensive alignment. I was surprised they didn't bring somebody to spy him. I mean, and actually, I saw the defensive ends twist inside a few times, which really surprised me. And he didn't take off, and I thought he could have run for another 50 or 60, maybe 100 yards.
They did
a
good job of signaling the corners. They did. The edges. Arkansas did a really good job on the edges.
Yeah, for the most part. And I think he sat in the pocket and helped him out a little bit. But, again, that's going to be his approach this year, and I think to his detriment.
He is a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, he is. The thing that killed me is the one shot Arkansas got on him when they bent him up backwards, he popped right back up. The dude's
like
flubber.
He literally jumped right back up. I actually noticed that when he did it.
No brain, no pain.
Yeah, well, there is. he's smart enough, I guess.
The only other game that has a lower line than we do for the over-under is Iowa, Michigan State. They're at 38. We're at 43.
Those are some bad offenses,
there
too,
you go.
Without a doubt.
That's the only one, though.
We'll see if the coaches talk about it on the teleconference today, but they're certainly going to be asked about it. Both Franklin at Vanderbilt and Sumlin at A&M both expected to be pursued as the USC job is open now. Not sure which one of them, if either of them, will be interested. Sumlin has a $2 million buyout. Not familiar with James Franklin's contract. But, again, if you're going to jump and you're James Franklin, that's a pretty good opportunity. And you're talking about polar opposites as far as the level of national respect and prestige.
It wouldn't be beyond comprehension that Texas would go in and take the AD and the head football coach from Louisville. Charlie Strong.
Yeah, I would think that he would be a pretty attractive candidate for a lot of folks. Yeah,
that AD at Louisville is considered one of the top two in the country. So, you know, he's got a great reputation. And Texas is so arrogant, so snobby.
Yeah, he's hired pretty well, and they've had the best year of anybody in the country sports-wise this year. Women's basketball, men's basketball, football, baseball. I mean, they've had an unbelievable season sports-wise.
Well, I think the basketball has fallen. I think Rick's probably on the hot seat.
Think so?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they gave him his own Maker's Mark bottle, so at least he can drown his sorrows.
That's a gentleman that can afford a $5.5 million house, Acree.
Without a doubt, he can afford a $5.5 million garage.
He can.
Because I don't know how much he's making off that Maker's Mark bottle, but I bet it's a bunch.
It's a lot. And his horses and everything.
James Franklin will be able to afford one if he takes the job at USC, without
a
doubt.
He's a great fit, I think.
You know who they're talking about, too, is Jack Del Rio.
Yeah, Jack Del Rio has been the leading
Broncos
candidate.
Broncos defensive coordinator.
Who's he recruited?
Well, here's what I was saying yesterday. I've been complaining about them not, and I got in a debate. Chris Kane was channeling you yesterday and arguing with me about every little point.
Oh, I said it was love blue, Chris. We were talking about hockey this morning on Twitter.
I know you guys are knuckleheads. Anyway, the point is, I was saying that the NFL has not had an original thought in a long time, but then he pointed out a couple of good exceptions to that rule in that they gave Chip Kelly an opportunity. My point is, they always recycle these old dudes. It's like, oh, well, this guy failed. And then I pointed out, too, because we were about to talk about John Fox and Denver and the unbelievable performance they've had so far. But John Fox, the guy, I mean, the ink wasn't dry on his termination papers, and they hire him in Denver. And I'm like, yeah, great move. Well, all of a sudden, they're lighting it up. So you know what? It was a good move. But more
or is
often,
it because of Manning?
Well, but more often, that's true. But more often than not, they do. They recycle these guys through. So Del Rio is a guy that's respected. Yeah, again, like you said, though, is he going to be able to go out on the recruiting trail and you know, get guys excited about going to USC?
I think so. Who wouldn't want to play for Jack Del Rio?
Me.
Really?
Other than us.
Are you 19-year-old kids, though?
I promise you, the first name, when it becomes official that Texas is making a change, the name John Gruden's going to come up.
Of course it is.
Oh, of course it is. It comes up for every job.
I'm surprised it hasn't been mentioned more about the USC opening.
Here's what nobody realizes about John Gruden. He works maybe 3-4 days a week.
He's got
exactly. That's right. He's got the biggest cush job there is right now.
$6 million from ESPN.
See, that's
exactly.
It.
$4 million from EA Sports.
How much is he making from Hooters?
No telling.
His bunch.
Hair
and
products.
All the
he probably's got a hairline too.
I'm telling you, the guy's making. You don't give up $10 million a year to do one game a week.
To go work your butt off. That guy right now, yeah. I'm not saying that this is easy. There's a lot of prep, yada, yada, yada. But let's be honest. Compared to being a college football coach,
yeah.
He's sitting pretty right now. Because he's playing golf on Saturdays, if you know.
It's a 360-day.
Exactly.
That's how much you work now. You're never off recruiting.
No.
Can I work way more, get paid way less, and have a lot more stress and less job security?
Right.
Where do I sign up for
that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Probably not the best move for him. You're probably right.
But John Gruden's name will come up.
No question. James Franklin asked about it yesterday.
It comes up.
What's your
every time?
Response to your name being linked to that USC opening?
My response is really excited about talking about UAB, our last game. Really excited about talking about Missouri this week. I mean, for once, I'd like to sit in this press conference and talk about either the game before or the game we're playing this week. And anything outside of that is outside of our control. You know, this is something that we've been going through for 3 years here, and that's wonderful. But we're focused on, you know, Missouri this week, and any questions that you guys have about UAB, I'm more than happy to talk about it.
But a good reflection, though, on what you all have accomplished when you get your name tossed out every time a top opening comes up.
I'm really excited about playing Missouri this week. They got great colors. They wear black and gold. I love those colors.
Have you or any of your representatives been contacted by USC? I know you don't want to be asked about it, but can you at least tell us that part?
Yeah, the Missouri game is a huge game for us because we got a chance to be 1-0 this week. And we're excited about being 1-0 this week.
So is that a yes or a no?
Missouri and Gary Pinkel are all our attention.
He's gone.
I'm telling you guys, I am a journalist. I have been a journalist my entire adult life. You've got to ask the question, but you only ask it once. You don't ask it four times. you take it, he's telling you the truth. He's worried about Missouri. Well, he's not telling you anything.
Well, look, it's like Jim Gray going after Pete Rose at the All-Star game. Guess what, dum-dum? He's not going to answer it.
Right.
When you make it clear, then you're just badgering.
Exactly.
What's the point?
And that's what those
And James Franklin's a good guy. And if he was an a-hole like Lane Kiffin, I don't care if you badger him. But James Franklin's been nothing but good for that university. And I'm sure he's been pretty good to deal with for the reporters, too. I've never heard a complaint
about
him.
This is why they change. This is why they change.
You're right.
Because they get harassed.
It is a legitimate question, though. You're right. But, again.
One time. You ask it once.
Eric says Gruden wore a red tie on Monday Night Football this week. He's for sure going to USC. That's a great point. Remember that deal? That whole conspiracy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. By the way, we're going to talk to Mick Hubert, the voice of the Florida Gators, and talk about this year's matchup. And we'll ask Mick if he's being recruited by USC to do their play-by-play. David. Perfect. You know what? Best call ever. Some Keithley Service Company Live fan feedback for anyone?
Love it. Love it.
Okay. Bear Fan of Conway says UCA senior linebacker Justin Hurd has only a 3-game suspension. Yes. I haven't heard that yet, Bear Fan. You have insight that I don't. But that's good to know. I thought he could be in.
You didn't know that, and you're the announcer of the UCA Bears?
That's Sully, actually. I just do the color.
You're the professional analyst.
I just do. Yes, exactly.
Analyze this suspension for us.
Yeah. I'm glad he's back sooner rather than later. They need him ASAP. I don't know why you want to hear jump around. I don't get that. Chase in Kansas City says gambling strategy. If you follow sports and know football, basketball, baseball, etc., well, safe to say, I don't. Never bet the spread. Only bet the money line and also do live bets. You won't win as much money, but it's less of a risk. For instance, if Mississippi State scores first on LSU, that would be the best scenario for a money line live bet. You know LSU is going to pound Mississippi State. You can just tell from the start of the game who the better team is. Just a strategy I go by. Y'all have a great day and go Hogs. And I asked if it was un-American to bet on the international team in the President's Cup, and Steven says, it's American to make money. So I guess
that's awesome.
That's a thumbs up to bet
free enterprise.
Whoever I think is going to win the game, or in this case, the match.
What is the money line?
The money line?
Yeah.
The money line is it's a different payout, and you get it on different odds.
I got you.
So
it doesn't pay as much.
Right. So, and I don't know if you get it straight up or if it's just a lesser line. I've never bet the money line.